Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
My name's Az, I'm the pastor here. It's good to be here with you this week. Some of you are a little bit quiet today. I'm just like, yeah, it's a little cold. It's a little cold, a little bit nippy. But today I hope you warm up with what I'm actually going to share this morning. Are you excited? Before I ask you that, are you expecting to hear from God? Because I hope you are. I hope you actually came in and went, God, speak to me today. Show me what to do. Like, you got to have an expectancy in your spirit. Because if you come in just going, oh, we've got half an hour, then we're going. And some of you are checking the POMs right now in the soccer. And like, you know, you're just like, what's going on? You've got to have an expectancy. And I just pray today there'll be an expectancy for miracles. I'm just like, God, you're going to do miracles today. You are going to do miracles today. And I reckon if I was to ask many of you, do you need a miracle in your life? You'd say, yes, please. If I could guarantee that the miracle you need would happen right now today, would you be like, yep, I'm in. Because I think sometimes we go, oh, that couldn't happen to me, but why not? Miracles. The actual definition of miracle, I'm going to get it up here. Because if you don't believe there's miracle, we just talked about saying about miracle maker. You're the miracle maker, right? A miracle is literally this, a surprising, extraordinary event that cannot be explained by natural or scientific laws and is therefore often attributed to a divine or supernatural agency. It evokes a sense of wonder and is widely interpreted as a sign of spiritual meaning, purpose, or intervention. I want miracles. Like, I don't know about you, but we're not. It's a supernatural. It's not natural, it's supernatural. And today we're going to talk a little bit about miracles because we know that miracles occur, but there's a process to see the miracle happen. And obviously we know the story of Peter stepping out of the boat. You know, he had to get his miracle. Jesus, I come out and walk on water. And he's like, that doesn't practically happen. But he has to leave the timber before the miracle happens. Like he has to go, okay, I'm stepping on the water. Okay, now the miracle, right? He doesn't experience until he steps out in faith. And so we're going to be talking about faith today because sometimes we think, oh, yeah, I have belief that it could happen, but there's just, oh, I don't know. And we're going to be looking at faith today. We're going to talk about faith, what you're believing for. And at the end of this service, we're going to pray that God moves. It's pretty simple today. One of my favorite scriptures in the whole world is Hebrews 11:1. And it says this, now faith is the confidence of what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Beck and I just laid a slab for our house and we wrote that in the concrete. We didn't write it straight away. I'm dyslexic. I wrote Hebrews 1:11. Beck had to wipe it out. Don't look that up. No joke. That's when you've got dyslexia, it strikes everywhere. And we almost claimed there's a scripture. It's pretty funny. If you look it up, it says, they shall all perish, but he shall remain. So, you know, Beck, there's photo evidence. We'll show it one day, but it was funny. I mean, I laughed. Beck, literally, we had to get the concrete guy. Rub that out. That's not what we want. It's talking about God remaining. So it's good. But this is my favorite scripture because it really is where we stand as Christians all the time. Having confidence in what we hope for and this assurance within our spirit in the things we don't yet see. But we just know that we know that something's going to happen. There's an expectancy, and today I just want to talk about this. I want to talk about miracle stories, stepping out, having a confidence that God's with you and you're stepping out. And, you know, my prayer today and always for this church is we're a faith church. Like, we're always stepping out. We're always going, I don't know, let's do it. And then it happens. We go, oh, look what God did. Not just like we figured it all out and then we did it. Like, we want to be a faith church. When we pray, one of our values here is to pray with faith-filled expectation. When we pray, we don't just pray, God, would you do it with no expectation it'll happen. Like, man, that's a religious prayer right there. I better pray because I need to pray. I actually don't believe anything's going to happen. But when you have faith-filled expectation, it's going to happen. It changes everything. Every time you open your mouth and you pray, you're like, Lord, I know you hear me. Do it. Move on my behalf. And James, it actually says this in James 1:6-7, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such is a person who's double-minded and unstable in all they do. Can I just tell you now, I want to be someone who prays and then God doesn't go, oh, gee, he's unstable. Like, double-minded and unstable. Watch him fall. I want to be someone who's just like praying. Like, no, I believe God's going to do it. Like, I believe that God's going to do it. And, you know, just this week, I've just been once again reminded and challenged by God that he's asking us to pray unwavering, like prayers, like going, no, God, you're for us. You're not against us. Like, we are more than conquerors, that we are the head, not the tail, that you love us as your kids. We can come to you and ask, and you say, ask and you'll receive. Like, that's sort of where I want to be as a church. I don't want to be that as just a pastor. I want every one of you to be like, no, I believe it. I just know that I know within my knower, God, you're going to move. And, you know, this week, as I said, just God's been really stirring me and saying, God, you know, Az, just ask. Like, you know, like, I've got good things ahead for you and your church and what God's doing in the Redlands. And I'm believing for miracles. I'm believing that God's going to answer prayers. And can I tell you, after being at INC conference this week, I honestly believe we're just like in a river right now of God's goodness. Like, we're just like, you ever go camping with your parents and there's a creek and they put you on an inflatable mattress, let you go and hope for the best? Just me. The cheap Kmart mattress, you know, the blue and red one, and they bump it up and go, see ya, kids. Don't know where it goes. There could be a waterfall at the end, I don't know. But mum and dad go, nah, trust it. Just let them cruise down the river. I feel like we're in the river. Like, we're in the river where God's just taking us right now to where he wants to take us. And there's miracles breaking out. God's doing an incredible thing. And shortly I'm going to share with you some miracles that have been happening in our church, because you need to hear it. I get to hear it, but you don't get to hear it. And you're like, does it happen? I'm like, yes. So I'm going to share some miracle stories today, share a bit more about that word that we received for our church at conference. Just so you know, in context, like, it wasn't a word for every church. He didn't line up 50 churches and go, this is your word. It was just Beacon. And we felt a bit, honestly, truly, I felt a little bad. Like, I was like, little old Beacon anyway. But I believe that God is up to something. And if you don't see it, you're going to miss it. If you don't have faith to believe it, you are in the right place for God to move. I'm telling you, we are just about to see something unlocked. But before we go any further, because I've got a simple word today, but I believe God's going to speak. So I'm going to pray. God, I thank you for this morning. God, thank you that you are a miracle worker, that God, there's supernatural stuff going on here. We know your gracious hand sits upon us, God, and there's stuff going on here that it blows me away. And I just pray today that we'll capture what it takes for us to be people of faith this morning as we look at your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you've got your Bible, I want you to open up to John 8, okay? John chapter 8. I'm just looking around who's got their Bible. A few of you, oh, good job. Simone Curran, that is a massive Bible. That is massive. Like, you could, I mean, when people talk about Bible bashing, I mean, you could look out. That's amazing. That's incredible. Okay. Get strong just lifting it up. It's amazing. I like it. But here's what it says. Before we get into it, this chapter has a story, one of my favorite Bible stories. I share it a fair bit. It's the story of the adulterous woman who gets brought to Jesus, and they say, well, let's kill her because she's been caught in adultery, and the law says we should stone this woman to death. And Jesus, he says, hang on a minute, and points at these religious people and says, hey, if you don't have sin, feel free, throw a stone. And they all walk away because they realize that they're all just as broken as the woman that's been caught. They just haven't been caught. And they walk away, and then there's this beautiful interaction with Jesus and this woman who knew that she was deserving of death, but then she has a moment where everyone's walking away because this rabbi, this Jesus character, has called out that, hey, I don't condemn you. And we read this in John 8, 10 to 11. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Because they've all left. No one's there to throw a stone. Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Now, it's very interesting when you read chapter 8, you can leave it there. You can just stop there and go, wow, what an amazing moment. This is an amazing moment. But Jesus is still there and it continues. It actually continues. Like, same group of people, moments just happened. And then Jesus says this, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, I often think about this woman because she got off the hook. Like, some of us get off the hook with God, you know, like those moments you're like, oh, and then you go, oh, thank God for grace. And we actually don't know if she's obedient to what Jesus says, where he says, go and sin no more. but she can and she can. We don't know any more. But this next statement that Jesus makes about being the light of the world actually is everything. Because Jesus is actually saying to the crowd and actually saying to that same woman who would still be there, hey, if you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You've been stumbling in the dark and you are broken and you are a mess. If you follow me, I'll light up your life and show you where to go. And so sometimes we forget that Jesus is saying, hey, I'm showing you a better way. If you follow me, you'll have the light of life. If you open your eyes to who I am and actually follow me, you'll have the light of life. Have you ever been in a very dark room? Anyone ever been in a dark room? Good, that's every person because we all have. It's a pretty dumb question, really. Like, it's pretty dumb. We've had better questions. Just like I've asked questions that would actually make people contemplate. That's just like a dumb question. We've all been in dark rooms. Dan's been in a dark room. He's nodding going, you're an idiot, Az. But have you ever been in a pitch black dark room, but your eyes are actually open and you're trying to figure out you're like, but it's so black. Even with your eyes so open, you can't see anything. Like, it is so dark that your eyes physically are open, but it's so dark. Jesus is saying, your eyes are open, but you can't see anything because you're in the dark, right? So he's like, but if you come to me, I'm going to turn on the lights and you're actually going to see everything in the room for what it is. And then I'll show you're going to have the light of life. You'll know how to do life. I'm going to set you free from the darkness. I'm going to flick the switch. Like, and this is why we know this is all unfolding, because the next portion of scripture, I'm actually going to challenge you to read your Bible this week. And so go and read the rest of chapter 8. And what you discover is directly after this moment where this woman goes away, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He starts claiming some big stuff. All the religious leaders who think their eyes are open to God are in the dark. So they're looking and going, you are not God. They're like, oh, we see and you don't. They're like, we know things, we see things. And if you read the chapter, it's pretty intense, because what you see the religious people berate Jesus, belittle Jesus. They just attack him on every level. They literally attack him on his father, earthly father. They're like, well, at least we know where he came from because of his story of a virgin birth. He's like, who's your dad? Like, it's crazy. Like, Jesus just gets peppered by the religious people. Peppered. It's intense. It gets so intense. There's a moment where you can see them. You can always tense. If you read this, it says, we're not illegitimate children. Like, they're literally, this is where it says they protested. The only father we have is God himself. And so there's this intense, like, moment going on. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because they're in the dark. Their eyes are open. They're in the dark. Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. Jesus just throws it back at him. Satan's your father. Like, fully throws it back at them. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. And then he drops this on them after he's just gone to this woman. Has anyone condemned you? Like, is any? She literally goes, can anyone prove me guilty of sin? In other words, hey, prove it. Show me one thing where I haven't spoken the truth. Show me one thing in my ministry where I haven't followed God. He says, if I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Boom, right? I mean, it's so heated. He just said he's the light of the world. He says, if you follow me, you won't be in darkness. So if you're trying to prove a point on what you've just said to prove to the people that don't believe you, what do? You show them that you are the light. Chapter 9. Have a look at chapter 9. John chapter 9. He goes on. As he went along, he's just said, I'm the light of life. He saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. He's talking about day and night. What happens in the day? Light. So he's like, hey, as long as it's day, as long as there's light, he's talking about himself, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming. There's going to be a time where there's blindness, where no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. By the way, interesting moment, right? Can you picture that? Jesus spits on the ground, makes a bit of mud, rubs it in this guy's eyes. The guy doesn't know what Jesus is doing because he can't see him. Everyone else is seeing it going, what? So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So matter of fact, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begged asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. He's taken off his glasses. Oh, Clark Kent, I see. No, he only looks like him, but he himself says, I am the man. How then have your eyes been open, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and then I could see. Where is this man, they asked him. I don't know, he said. I mean, how could he know? He was blind. He doesn't... Dumb questions. I love the Bible. It's very relatable. They brought to the Pharisee the man who had been blind. So they bring him to the religious people. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Remember we talked about the Sabbath, how they get upset because he'd work on the day off. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he'd received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. They're like, I'm sorry. I mean, that's a religious spirit, hey. Right there. You know, when miracles happen in this house and people make complaints about dumb stuff, that's a religious spirit. He's like, who cares how it happened? It happened. God's on the move. And you get distracted and they're like, but it's the Sabbath. But others ask, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. So now they're like, what do you think of him? Can you imagine this guy? He's like, well, I haven't been able to see my whole life. Now I can see. What do you think I think about this guy? It was your eyes he opened. Yeah, the man replies, he's a prophet. Like he's like, must be a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? They're like, you're the parents? How can he see? Like, the guy must be like, why are you asking? I've already told you. I love their response. He says, we know he is our son. Like, it's so practical. They're like, we know he is our son. The parent says, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. So they're like, if we tell you that Jesus healed him, we can't go to church. Some of you are like, just tell him, we can get off church. No, I'm joking. But he's like, this is a crazy, can you see it? This is so ridiculous. These people are like, don't tell him. Just talk, as sons of age, ask him how he got his sight. So we want to go to church on Sunday. That was why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. A second time they summon the man who has been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth. They're like, tell us the truth, it wasn't Jesus and that'll bring glory to God. They said, we know this man is a sinner. They're talking about Jesus. Like, they're like, he's a sinner, he couldn't have done this. And I love his response. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. He's a simple man. But he's like us. He's like, I can't explain it, but I was in complete darkness and light came back into my eyes. And now I can see you. And everyone wants him to explain the miracle. They want him to explain the surprising, extraordinary event that cannot be explained by natural or scientific laws and therefore often attributed to divine or supernatural agency. I reckon people in the crowd probably went, mud plus spit equals healed eyes. They would have been selling it, cosmetics. Yeah, you rub that in your eyes, you'll be able to see. No, I can't. Oh, well, try again. Like there's this sort of people trying to figure out the miracle. But you can't figure out the supernatural in the natural. And I want to live in that space. I want to constantly be like, I can't figure it out. But we see this guy actually was part of this miracle. He wasn't just someone who received the miracle. There was actually an action point that happened with this man. And I want to have a look at this morning. He explained it like this. He said, well, I'm going to explain what happened. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it in my eyes. He told me to go to the Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, then I could see. And this morning, I want to give us some steps on how you can see miracles in your life because of this man's revelation. First, he said, he told me, he listened to Jesus. Like, he heard God's voice. Jesus said, go and get washed in the pool. So he went. He was obedient. He listened, then he was obedient. Right? And then, because of listening and then being obedient, he could see. Right? Now, here's the interesting thing. I love that over the next few weeks, just so you know, the next few weeks, we're doing a 3-week series on how to hear from God. Because you're like, okay, am I listening to God or am I listening to the cheese pizza from last night that's had a weird effect on my brain? So how do you hear? 3 weeks in a row, we're talking about how to hear from God. Because if you can hear from God, then you can go and then you can see. Very simple. Very, very simple. Listen, go, and then you'll see. Write it down. Listen, go, and then you'll see. You've got to be obedient to what God says, and then the miracle unfolds. So I want to share a couple of miracles that have been happening in our church because God's doing miracles here, and I'm going to try to get through them. Miracle one I want to share. It's actually to do with our legacy offering that's been happening. We're believing for a miracle of $1 million this year to get us the finance to build a building next year. And honestly, I've been stepping out in faith for the last 6 years, but I've been hearing from God. I believe wholeheartedly been hearing from God. The thing is, the more you go down this track of the three things we'll be teaching on the next 3 weeks, the clearer God's voice gets. And it's like tuning into a radio and all of a sudden you're like, I know that's God. I've heard that before, right? And so over the last 6 years, God has been speaking about this whole building and where we're going and stirring my heart. And in this last period of time, God has been stirring me in regards to, you know what? This is the 6th year. I talked about that. The 6th year, it's time to bring in double. Like the idea of the manna, bring in double and God will bless the 7th. We're going to rest in the 7th. It's been through the word of God that God's been speaking. So I've been listening. But then when you listen to those moments, you've still got to go. So I could have just gone, God, you're speaking to me, but I'm not telling anyone else what's going on because I'm too nervous to go. And so I come to you and go, okay, this is what's going on. So I come to you as a church and say, look, believe wholeheartedly God's speaking. We need to step out of the boat, leave the boat. We might sink, but I believe we're going to swim. In fact, we're going to walk, okay? Because God's hand has been on our church. And, you know, this is a crazy thing to say for $1 million. $1 million is an insane amount of money when you're talking about a church of our size. But there's miracles in this place. And after week number one, $580,000 was committed in pledge, right? That was amazing, right? So I'm like, I remember going, God, that's insane. That's more than we've ever done an entire year has been committed in 1 week. And like, you're on the move. And, you know, so you get a bit more faith. And then I'm like, Lord, actually, by week two, and so on the Monday, so by the Sunday actually, so 1 week went, so on the first Sunday, it's 580, by the end of week one, we're actually around 630. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Okay, that's cool. But then, so end of week one, the Monday starts, and so I'm out praying every morning. I'm like, Lord, by the end of 2 weeks, I want 2/3. I honestly was praying every day. Lord, by the end of week 2, we're going to be at 2/3. 2/3 of $1 million committed. And I don't know how, because I think we've emptied everything out of our community. And speaking, you know, like I just felt like, whoa, everyone is doing something. And I'm like, I don't know how. But by week 2, it's 2/3. So I'm praying that every day. We got to week 2 last week and some people filled out those legacy cards that hadn't been here week 1. And I had no idea what was on those cards. And I can the whole team can testify to this. Because on the Monday morning, we came in and Kate Gundry, our legendary Kate Gundry, give her a round of applause. She's amazing. So Kate says, I said to Kate, I had to go out for about an hour. And I said, Kate, tally up where we're at. I said, I've got to go out for about an hour. I believe when I get back, we're going to be at 2/3. But I believe, and everyone heard it. So we're going to be at 2/3. I had no idea. I'm going out and praying, Lord, I've been praying for 2/3, 2/3, 2/3, right? And then I'm in the car. I'm like, what is 2/3? 666. Oh, terrible number. But I'm like, well, that's what I've been praying for, right? So maybe a little more, God, you know, like I'm just joking. You know, yeah, that's me, sense of humor. Anyway, whatever. So I'm like, no, 2/3. And I come back and I say, Kate, what's the tally? She goes, oh, 666, 250. Now, I started laughing with the team. I said, I can't believe I was praying for 666. I believe that God has got more. I said, are you sure that's it? She goes, actually, there's a little bit more of a portion that needed a tax deduction where it's 667. 2/3? Amazing. Amazing. And then the Holy Spirit convicted me. Why do you only pay for 2/3? Where's your faith? I'm like, Lord, you're going to bring it in. We got a faithful church. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm not sure. But I do believe that God is going to bring in every bit of resource. I feel it in my spirit. I just know that this is going to be a time of great joy and not burden. Can I explain 2/3? No. I can't explain it. But I just listened, I went, and now we can see. Miracle 2. I know this is connected to the legacy, but often, I mean, not just often, all the time in Scripture, sacrifice comes before the miracle. It always does. Like, we want the miracle so then we can make sacrifice. But God's like, other way around, because then it involves faith. It honestly, if you don't get that, just get that from today. I have to sacrifice something so God can break through. That, like, there's, you got to lay down something. He laid down his life for the miracle of us to get eternal life. Like, everything comes from a place of letting go. And so going into INC conference, like, Beck and I, we talked about this. So I was like, you know, with the legacy, it's brutal faith in regards of letting go again. And God's done this for 6, 7 years, actually 13 years of our married life. God has asked us to empty out multiple times. We've gone, we're going to die, and somehow it comes through. And, you know, this year I'm like, Lord, I know what you're calling us to, but I had a plan, you see. I had a plan. And it happens in 9 months because I can do this with my business and I can do this, and I'm figuring out how to do it, right? And then on Monday, I wake up and I felt the Holy Spirit speak again, because you know that voice when you've been hearing it for a long time. And he says, as do it now. Transfer it now. Now, the reason I know this voice, he's done this to me multiple times in our married life. Before we moved here, we had to sell our house. We had an auction. No one showed up. 3-week campaign. The agent was, yeah, you'll sell it easy. Not one person showed up to our auction. And then he started making all the excuses under the sun. Well, the market's like, and you're like, you know those moments where you're like, and it was actually just at INC conference. And I'm like, we have to move to the Redlands. We have to sell our home. Nothing's happening. Now I don't know what to do. And I'm stressed. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, you know, 7 years ago. And he said, as I want you to tithe, I want you to give 10% of the sale price you're believing for before you sell it. And I'm like, but that means I have to like literally reloan on my mortgage, get into more debt to like, because, but I know it will come back if I sell it, but I don't know if I'm going to sell it because the agent said it won't sell. And now I'm torn, but I just knew that I knew in my spirit. There was such a stirring, do it now. Mid-service, I think it was, I said to Beck, I'm going upstairs to our hotel room to transfer this money right now. She goes, are you sure? No. I'm telling you, I was like, what am I doing? Are you just gone crazy? Like, you know, like this is, but I did it. I came back down. The second I hit that send button, I remember sitting there going, whoa, now I'm in the faith zone. Next day, we're in a worship session, get a call from the agent. We just sold your house for the price you needed. It's a cash offer. It's done.
next day. Now, here's the thing. You could have gone, well, God could have sold the house the next day for the same amount and you wouldn't have had to give.
Ah, yeah, but it wasn't a miracle then. I heard, I listened, I went, and then I saw. And so last week, I'm like, Lord, he's like, do it now. I'm like, okay, sure. So I said to Beck, we're doing it now. She goes, what happened in 9 months? Aren't we doing it in 9 months? I said, not anymore. And so I said, God, because the reason the stirring in my spirit, I felt God say, I want to give you a word this week at INC conference. That's all I had. I want to give you a word this week at conference, but I need you to be obedient now. And that's all I had. There was nothing more than that. And I'm like, well, you know, God could speak through a bunch of speakers. And I was really stoked about that. So I transferred and I was like, excellent. I don't have to write a preach for next week because God's going to give me a word. I had nothing ready. And my plan, I'm not joking, my plan was to listen to all the preachers at the conference, find one that sounded pretty good and rehash it for you guys. Yeah. I was going to bring it back. Worst version, but whatever. You never paid, so you don't get the full. Anyway, so that was my plan. I'm not joking. That was my plan. I said to Beck, oh, I'm going to get a word from conference. That's what I'll preach next week. And she's like, what do you mean? You're going to preach someone? Yeah, I'm just going to preach. No, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And I'm going to bring a taste of conference back. And that's going to be great. And then I'm not joking, everyone who was there, you would agree to this because I kept getting your text messages. Every message was a message we've preached in the last 6 months here at this church. One message was about the seed and the harvest. Oh, that was a whole series. Another session was get the oil, literally the story of the parable of the 10 virgins. We did that. And then, like everything we did was being repeated. And everyone's texting me going, we've heard this before. Now, I'm annoyed because I'm like, I can't steal anything because I've already preached that. I can't preach it again because, like, they'll go, we've already heard. Anyway, so, I mean, to the point, the detail was wild. Anyone who was at men's prayer last Tuesday morning, I brought a word from Psalm 21:5 about praying the strength of the Lord. One of the sessions, they just dropped 21:5 and I text Fletch and I go, can you believe this? And then the next session was another thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got nothing new. This is, you know. So, so I'm like, Lord, you said you speak to me. You said you speak to me. So, and then the message happens and it's like, get the oil. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I need more Holy Spirit. I want to get filled. I want the Holy Spirit. So they say, if you want prayer or you want to come down and worship, just receive more oil. And I went down the front. I was just like, I lost in worship completely. Have you ever been in those moments? I hope you get lost in worship in church where you don't even know where you are. Like you could be facing that wall with your hands up. No one knows. You're in a different angle. Who cares? You're so lost. Like, what's that guy doing? You know, like, I want you to be so lost in worship that you just love Jesus and you don't care about what anything else. So I'm standing there completely lost in worship. What was the song? It's another old school song. I'm just lost in it. Like, Lord, I give you my heart. Oh, it was. Honestly, I was picturing my whole family growing up in one row. Grandparents, parents, we're all singing that song badly and it was great. And I was lost. I was lost in worship. I honestly couldn't even tell you where I was. I was lost. And then I felt the clearest voice of God a couple of times in my life, like just like down, like boom, right? And I'm in worship and then literally just, it was like something cut into my worship and goes, as I'm going to give you a word. Are you ready to receive? And I go, I was like, huh, yes. And I'm literally having a conversation. I go, and I'm like this. And then I go, okay, I'll receive. It could have counted like this. 3, 2, 1. As Hamilton, I have a word for you in Beacon Church. Like, I couldn't stop laughing because of the clarity. So we're going to watch this. You've got to watch this word. This is not for me. This is for us. This is for us. And I just found myself going, God, you said you're going to give us a word. But you've got to let go of, and then God speaks, right? And so everyone else is just going, Beacon gets a word. You know, like it's just, I'm there going, God, yes. I know what it went. Yeah, that hurt us on Monday. It, yes, you said it would. But you just know that you know that you know. That's faith. You can't make it up. So have a listen again. Have a listen to what God said in that moment. I'm going to play it again.
I'm coming to your church, and I just sense, remember you giving me this word about Jacob's ladder and the open heaven and the angels ascending and descending, but I just feel like you are prophesying over your own church and over your own life. And I feel the Lord saying, applied the oil and prepared your life. And he's saying, get ready for a touch, a supernatural touch of God over your life, over your church. I see the prophetic busting forth. I see the signs and the wonders and the miracles flowing. Not because you're pursuing it, you're just eyes fixed on Jesus, saying, Lord. Come on, let's pray for Beacon Church right now. And Father, we lift up Beacon Church right now. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for us and Beth. And I thank you, Lord, that you have seen. And you have, Lord, you have positioned on purpose and for a purpose. And I ask, Holy Spirit, right now, release, Holy Spirit. Release the open heaven. Release the touch of God over that church, Lord. Release over Azabeth right now, Lord. Dreams and visions, God. Lord, that they would be even further into the realm of dreaming, Lord. Even further into the realm of believing, Lord. For the impossible, the Holy Spirit, touch him right now, Lord. Lord, I pray, would this church be marked, Lord? Would it be known in the nation as a hotspot?
Yes, Father.
The presence of God.
Yes, Lord.
These people be known as hotspots for the presence of God.
Amen. I mean, I sat there just going, yes. Amen. 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 There was a statement in that prophecy, signs and wonders and miracles were flowing. You know, there's miracles flowing in this house right now. You know, every week I'm hearing stories of miracles coming from our church members. And I'm going to get one of those members to come up because I believe he just outworked what the blind man did about a month and a half ago, I think it was, Bevan. Holy Spirit was saying to you, you need to go to men's prayer on Tuesday morning. You need to pray for your granddaughter. So I'm going to get Bevan to come up because he went. Can you imagine what would happen if the blind man went, why is there mud in my eyes? I need to go home. I'm not doing that. We wouldn't be talking about him right now. It's only those who go that see the miracles. You go, then you see. And so Bev came and he said, I need the men of the church to pray with me for my granddaughter. We need to believe for her. Bev, can you come up here? We've got a microphone there. Give him a round of applause. Tell us, I just want you just to briefly just tell us of that moment before you came to men's prayer. What happened? Tell us about what's going on in your family's life, in your granddaughter's life.
Well, the great-granddaughter, Asha, on her 14th birthday, she was diagnosed in Mackay that she had a massive tumour in her chest. So they put her on the plane and brought her down to the children's hospital. Jeanette got a call about 2 o'clock in the morning from Gemma, the mother, explaining what was happening, and they were trying to stabilise Asha. She had a very small chance of survival. So the next day I'm walking around in disbelief, thinking she's only 14. I mean, and this happened right on her birthday. So I got this word, get to men's prayer, get to men's prayer. So Tuesday morning I was here. I walked in, came up to Az and told him the story. And the men got together with Az and all prayed for Asha. It was just absolutely, it blew me away. It was so amazing that plumbers, builders, electricians, painters, concreters had so much love for God in their heart and they could give it out the way they did. And the prayer got really strong. Then a couple of weeks later, my wife was sitting at the end and Asha, and Az walks up. He puts his hand on Jeanette and he starts praying in tongues. It was so powerful, his word. I couldn't understand what he was saying.
But most people can't in general, but that's all right. Could have been English. Sorry. Very serious moment.
Gosh, yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, what happens is, some of you know that our daughter Gina, who comes to church here, she's a registered nurse. She's not here today because she's working, but... She went every second week on Thursday. They did the chemo on Asha. It was a big upheaval. The mother and father had to move down from Mackay. They both had jobs and businesses up in Mackay. They had to find a house because this was going on a long journey. So Gina talked with her boss at the hospital at QE2 and got every second Thursday off. She had to work another shift. They worked it out, however they do it. So she would go up with Asher and spend the day with her there. She'd get off, leave at 6 in the morning, get home about 5 at night. This time, she's up there and they're putting the chemo in, and she has a permanent bandage on her arm where they put the chemo into her body. The chemo wouldn't go into her arm. So they said, well, gosh, we don't like doing this, but we're going to have to take an x-ray to find what is restricting the chemo in her body. The tubes were all clear and everything. There was no restriction there. So they did the x-ray, and they put it up.
Up on the screen.
And when they put it up, and here we go here.
On the left.
Yes.
This was the tumour and cancer on the left when Bevan came to pray and they gave her a 60% chance of dying. They got the scan back. The tumour has shrunk half.
Yes.
Half.
Yeah. So the prayer from everyone in this church, and God being supernatural, was listening, working on it. The next time Gina's at the hospital, they put it up on the screen again because they had another stoppage that wouldn't go in. And the reason why, God stopped it so they knew there was no tumour. It had gone.
Nothing, completely gone.
100%.
Completely gone. Amen?
The power of God.
I'm telling you, church, there is something happening. There are miracles. Locke Jones came here. You can take a seat, Bev. Give it up for Bev. That was amazing. You know, I got to say, the man, I mean, it's blowing us away, right? I remember when Bev came, actually a couple of weeks later, we prayed for Asher again. We didn't know that it was going to be completely gone. I remember Simon McCormack. He prayed because I said, Simon, I prayed. He prayed, God, we don't just want a better report. It needs to be completely gone. Prayer of a righteous man avails much. There are men that are praying. There are women that are praying in this church. When you pray, things change. They change. You know, the day that Locke Jones came in, he was talking about a person in his church was with cancer, you know, stage 4, and completely healed. And I'm sitting there going, I'm experiencing this in my own family's life right now, and I don't know what to do with it. My own uncle Peter, he got this bile duct cancer. Farmer, very tough man. And my mum's brother, he spent 71 days in hospital with complication after complication. 2 times he was rushed by the flying doctors to get him to the hospital. They thought he was going to die. 24 CAT scans, MRI scans. He had 4 ultrasounds, 14 x-rays, 6 weeks of radiation, 8 months of chemo, which was making him worse. And my mum is the only person in her family of faith. And she went down there a couple of times and said, Peter, I'm going to pray for you. And he's like, I don't believe in that. I'm going to pray for you anyway. On the 21st of May this year, he went to his oncologist. No cancer, no sign of any cancer. Completely. Now, I believe that, yes, the medical element, you know, you go and you get the medical attention. He went through all of that, but everything, like, you just got to admit, we're trying our best. We're doing everything we can. 8 months of this, it's getting worse. He was weak. I know my Uncle Peter got to a place where he was just, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm in so much pain. And then God. We're in a river right now. God is on the move. God is doing some amazing things. It's one thing to say, oh, something happened to someone else, but when it's your own family. I believe it was the prayers of my mother. I believe for her brother and believes that he'll know Jesus. Listen, go, and see. You know, when it comes to this church, can I get the keys, the band up?
when it comes to this church, I know we harp on about like men and women's prayer. It's not to do a social activity. It's to see God move. And I think a lot of us, we go, oh, I know that God is stirring me to go, but it's cold and it's dark in the morning. I've got other things on it, but God's stirring you. Go. And you're like, I'm not sick. Hear, go and see. Just for the women's prayer, like just, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Now you're like, I can't. Well, if you can't, but you know God's stirring you to pray, we have a prayer team every Sunday. Listen, go and see. Well, I can't do that. Well, call a friend. I know God's saying, pray. Go and see. Like, there's an action point that God calls us to, and often it's our time we have to sacrifice. It's like Beck preached about generosity a few weeks ago. She said, you can have my money, just don't touch that part of my life. And God's like, no, I want it all. I'm going to stand up right now. I just love the blind man. I love his conversations. I don't know. How did it work? I don't know. Jesus said to go and wash, so I did what he said. And now I see. So many of us, we're like, we want to see something in our life, but we're not prepared to go. For some of you, I don't know how to hear from God. Well, the next 3 weeks, you should be in church. Because if you really want to hear from God, you need to learn how to hear, tune in to hear. So then you can go and then you can see. But interesting thing about that too, is the next 3 weeks, God will say, are you going to lay down your Sunday? Well, listen to the podcast, maybe. Or you can go, I'm going to sacrifice something. So God would just, you've got to go after it. You can't just sit there and go, well, if God wants to do it, he can come to me. It's like, I already did. I sent my son who died for you. Like, I already did. I went first. I'm actually asking you to reciprocate. Put your trust in him. When it comes to faith, you need to listen, go, and see. You know what's crazy about the woman caught in adultery? What actually happens when Jesus speaks to her? He says, anyone condemn you? And he goes, then neither do I condemn you. So then the woman has to listen to Jesus in that moment. I am not condemned. I am free. She has to believe that she is not condemned. What's the direct thing he says after? You're not condemned. You got to listen to me. Go now. So now you've got to go somewhere. You've got to do something with the fact you're not condemned. You are free. I'm letting you know. Are you going to listen? Are you going to go? And then he says this, and leave your life of sin. What is leaving a life of sin? Leave your darkness, because a life of sin, you're in the dark, and come to the light of life and see. That's all it is. That's what that word is. Believe me. I love you. I'm not condemning you. Second, now go with that word in your heart, knowing you're not condemned, and leave your life of sin. It's time to leave the dark and step into the light. I am the light of the world. Anyone who comes to me will never be in darkness ever again. You will be able to see like you've never seen before what this life is all about. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He died so you wouldn't have to. He wants to set you free this morning. He wants to give you a new life, and he wants to open your eyes to the possibilities of a life with him. And all you have to do is accept the fact he didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world and give you a new start. This morning, with your eyes shut right now, I just want you to shut your eyes. If you are, you just go, I'm in the dark. My eyes are open, but I can't see anything. And you're like, I'm in the dark. Come to the light. Jesus loves you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I repent. I'm going to turn around. I'm not going to live in this sin anymore that's keeping me in the dark.
I'm going to go and I'm going to follow you. Those who follow him will come to the light. So if you're here this morning, you go, oh, man, life's dark at the moment. Come to the light. If you want to have your eyes open, you're hearing God right now speaking to you. Your heart is pounding. You're like, God is saying, I love you. I love you. You are not condemned. And you want to accept that love. Just raise your hand wherever you are, because I'm going to pray that the light of God will just encounter you today from left to right. Yep. See that hand? Amazing. There's more of you there. There's more of us here in this room that are just like, I'm in the dark. I can't see. I can't see. I want the light of life. There's other people here this morning. Just want that light. I want my eyes to be open to see like you see. So we're going to pray right now. We're all going to pray this because I believe there's people in this room that you're just like, maybe I won't raise my hand, but I need the light of life. So we're going to say, dear Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for dying for me. I accept forgiveness. I accept that I'm not condemned. But today, I choose to follow you and go a different way. Light up my life. Show me where to go. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.